1230 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Christopher Cruz. A jury has ordered an Illinois-based healthcare company to pay $495 million after a trial over formula for premature infants.
Illinois resident Margot Gill brought the case against Similac maker Abbott Labs, alleging that the company failed to warn that its formula could cause a potentially deadly disease called necrotizing enterocolitis in premature babies. Gill says her child developed NEC while in a neonatal intensive care unit, survived but suffered irreversible neurological damage and will require long-term care. Abbott's lawyers argued the baby's long-term injuries were caused by trauma at birth that deprived her brain of oxygen, and they'll try to have the verdict overturned. Jennifer Kuiper, CBS News, Chicago.
Former President Donald Trump appears to be fully healed.
Just took off the last bandage off of my ear.
CBS's Linda Kenyon says the question, what hit Trump's ear, has now been answered by the FBI.
An FBI statement reads, what struck former President Trump in the ear was a bullet, whether whole or fragmented into smaller pieces, fired from the deceased subject's rifle. The statement comes 2 days after FBI Director Christopher Wray said during congressional testimony that it was not clear whether Trump was struck by a bullet or by shrapnel.
I'm Wendy Gillette at the Olympics opening ceremony in Paris. Rain started pouring down on this outdoor ceremony, the first one ever outside a stadium, with athletes parading down the Seine River in boats. About an hour and a half into the almost four-hour event, a steady stream of attendees started to flee.
If you didn't bring an umbrella, which I did not, I am drenched.
Robbie DeMarin from Richmond, Virginia, also left with his wife and two daughters.
Right now you have rain dripping down your face.
Yes, I do.
Arsonists attacked France's high-speed rail network early yesterday, setting fires that paralyzed train travel to Paris for about 800,000 people across Europe, including athletes heading to the opening ceremony of the Olympic Games. The Justice Department has charged two leaders of the notorious Sinaloa cartel in Mexico. CBS's Manuel Bojorquez says subterfuge brought them to the U.S.
76-year-old Ismael El Mayo Zambada, a leader of the Sinaloa cartel, was duped and apprehended by U.S. law enforcement after a months-long operation to capture him. CBS News has learned Zambada thought he was flying to see property in northern Mexico Thursday, but was instead flown to a small airport outside El Paso, Texas, and promptly arrested.
The largest active wildfire in California has exploded in size, threatening thousands of homes. The fire in northern California has now destroyed more than 130 structures. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Seth here, host of Over the Back Fence. We're on the air live every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., taking your calls to buy or sell, talk local events, or whatever, only on WFHR.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Vice President Kamala Harris put the spotlight on student loan forgiveness at the recent American Federation of Teachers conference. Here's Danielle Smith.
The Biden administration has canceled over $62 billion in federal student debt for more than 871,000 public service workers nationwide, including teachers. Presidential candidate Kamala Harris spoke at the conference. She told them the administration sees a future with affordable health care, affordable child care, and paid leave for all.
We see a future where every student has the support and the resources they need to thrive, and a future where no teacher has to struggle with the burden of student loan debt. So as an example, our administration has forgiven student loan debt for nearly 5 million Americans.
She pointed out that the federal student debt relief plans, including the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program, face potential threats due to legal challenges and some resistance from Republicans in Congress. A Pennsylvania recipient of student loan forgiveness introduced Vice President Harris. Brittany Schaup is a special education teacher in the Pittsburgh Public Schools. Schaup said she heard about the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program, or PSLF, but most people who applied for it didn't receive it during the last administration.
The Biden-Harris administration fixed PSLF and made the process easy, so I applied. and later had my student loans forgiven. And now I help my fellow teachers get the debt forgiveness they deserve.
The AFT conference wrapped up Thursday in Houston. I'm Danielle Smith. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, a low in the upper 50s. Mostly sunny, hot, and humid for the weekend, highs in the mid-80s. Storms possible Sunday night, Monday. Another warm day with a high in the mid-80s. Most of the rest of next week looks drier and staying warm. It's 60 right now.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we talk to the organization Parents as Teachers, what that would mean for you, mom and dad, and your kids. Plus, all the news from the weekend, we'll recap it. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matinair on air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightline with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Whatever gets you through the night, it's all right, it's all right. And now, a guy who wears a bathing suit in the shower, Pete Schwabba.
Hey, Wisconsin. Welcome to Nightline. It is time to light the night on this Friday night version of our show where we talk about movies and TV and music and theater and pop culture and all cool things in our cool summer state of Wisconsin. Downtown Green Bay is jumping tonight. There is a lot going on downtown tonight. It's a lovely summer evening. I hope wherever you are joining us from in this great state that we call home, that you're having a lovely night. I don't think there's any bad weather around the state at the moment. Do you, Conrad?
I don't think so.
Yeah, and I can tell that because I'm looking out the window here at One Street.
Yeah.
But it is a gorgeous night here in Wisconsin. Great to have you with us here on Nightlight. Really fun show tonight. Rob Thomas joins the show. We always have fun talking to Rob. He'll be here at 7:30. We're going to see if we can get information out of Rob about the Twinges. Because we had Matt Eisman on the show last week from American Ninja Warrior. He can't say anything. The episode hadn't even aired yet, but it did air. It was on Monday night. And I'll be damned if I cannot find any information on the Twinges, the twins from Madison who are in the semifinals and might have been bounced, right?
I have no idea.
I mean,
I still didn't watch the episode yet, so I've been a bad Wisconsinite on that.
Yeah. So well, hopefully maybe Rob can give us some insights. Maybe he signed an NDA. But either way, we'll at least try to get some information for you guys. That's all we can do. And we'll talk about all things box office and TV. Rob has watched, I would say the last couple times he's been here, we've pretty much watched the same things, but he's got a lot on his list now that I haven't seen yet. And I have a couple things he hasn't seen. So it should be a fun discussion. That's at 7:35. And it is a bar band Friday night. You guessed it. Terry Barr will be here with a new band. She brings great music every week. And we've got three for the price of one today because Terry is at Atwood Fest. It's this week, right, Conrad?
Yeah, this week.
This weekend. So she's going to give us a little sneak peek at three of the acts that are at Atwood Fest. We'll do that at 8:35 with Terry. So tonight's question, ladies and gentlemen, this is a big night because I always want to try to work the word Olympiad into a sentence, but I just sound like I'm trying to be intelligent or something. But the Olympics kick off tonight. So our question tonight is, what is your favorite Olympic memory? Now, I'll go first. And actually, Conrad, do you have one?
Yeah, I do. It's okay,
why don't you go first? You lead
actually,
us off.
I actually have two, but one's good and then one's the worst.
Oh, really?
The worst one was the last time USA played basketball, and we lost. I think we got bronze.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even think we got bronze, actually. But it was pathetic. We didn't show up. Wait a minute.
That was when the pros couldn't play, right?
No, we had some pros on that team.
Really? Because I remember they lost, and then because no pros were allowed, and then they said, no, pros. We're doing pros from now on because America will not lose the basketball, blah, blah, blah.
Well, they hit a couple pros. It was just during a time where a lot of people were like trying to go for a championship in the NBA or something like that.
Okay.
And now it's great. We got a bunch of people from the NBA this year. But my favorite is 2013, I believe. I believe that was the year when they won the gold, the USA basketball.
Okay, so you have both hoop-related memories. Okay, that's cool.
I mean, that's basically all I watch for
in the Olympics.
I do. You know what I actually like watching is the table tennis.
Oh, that is fun.
It is, because it's just crazy how
that is fun.
The hand-eye coordination with that is crazy.
What they're amazing. Like,
yeah.
It's so funny. Like, I love the NFL. I like baseball and basketball. I don't watch it as much as I used to, but when I see people doing what those guys are doing with the ping pong balls, that's harder than catching a pass.
Yeah.
Or these, the Olympians that like those gymnasts that are like this on the rings or doing triple, quadruple, that's harder to do than shooting a basketball, but they only have amateur status. It's like they get no recognition unless it's the Olympics.
I just can't believe how fast it is. You know how fast paced it is?
What do you mean? The Olympics?
The table tennis, sorry.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's just so fast-paced, I don't even know how they do it.
It's absolutely insane, and it is fun to watch. And yeah. I can't believe they can even hit that once, much less several times. All right, so Conrad's memories are both hoop-related, which is cool. Yep. I got to be honest. I'm not trying to be contrarian. I think, like, basketball, I just expect us to win.
You would think.
You would think.
We've been having some close wins against some teams this year, so I'm kind of nervous, but not at the same time, because we have an all-star team.
That's also because the rest of the world has caught up a little bit, too. Like,
yeah, that's
they're
true.
They're better at basketball than they used to be. But I think I have two memories. Mine, one is kind of underrated, but he's a Wisconsinite. His name is Dan Jansen. And those of you that remember Dan Jansen, he was a speed skater, I think from West Bend, somewhere down outside of Milwaukee. And this was probably in the 90s. He was the widely known as the best speed skater, but he could never seem to get the Olympic gold. And it was like, before social media, you saw the look on his wife's face, on his face when he'd look at the time, and you could see how heartbroken they were. But this guy just couldn't close. And then one day he won the gold. And I was like, it was like I was living vicariously through him. It was just such a neat moment. He looked up at the clock and he put his arms up and his wife was crying. It was like he was still a widely heralded skater with or without that medal. But Olympic gold just changes things. It was so cool. That's Dan Jansen. So we should try to get him on the show, Conrad. I have no idea what he is up to these days. But, he could be he could be selling suits. He could be teaching speed skating. He could still be speed skating. He's probably in his 60s or 70s now, but we should try to get him on the show. I would love to interview him about that moment.
I'll pull some strings.
See what you can do. Make a few phone calls. My other one, and this was just a great moment for the country, and I'm not even a hockey fan, but the Miracle on Ice in 1980 was really cool. Everybody, again, we had three channels at the time. So it's like, you're either watching the Olympics or Remington Steele. There was not a lot to choose from. But everybody became a hockey fan when Team USA would play. You got to know the players. They made, what was the movie called? The Miracle on Ice, I think it was called.
Yeah, it was called, isn't it a Disney?
Disney film.
Yeah.
That was a really, really cool moment. And it was an upset. So those are my two. It's funny because Jansen was not necessarily an upset. That was just like a rite of, he was supposed to win that, but he just never had. So that was cool that he finally got it. And then the Miracle on Ice was a big upset. And it was just cool because you got to know all of those guys. I don't know what the ratings were, but with the amount of channels we had then, I bet they were incredible. There were no Kardashians or there was no ESPN even, I don't think. It's like 1981. So those are my two favorite Olympic memories. Tell us what your favorite Olympic memory is. What is your favorite Olympic moment? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. I have something that really grossed me out today.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Here's my problem. Okay. So we've talked before on this show. I can't stand. I was at a restaurant in Madison on Monday and I ordered my food and I tipped. And there, and I've talked about this before. I'm walking around my tray. The table I want to use, the only table available, has food, has like, you know, remnants of food on it. So I made a point to walk back after I tipped for people who just put my salad together. I said, can I have a rag to wipe off the table? And she was very nice. She's, oh, I am so sorry. I'll do that. Other places, they're like, yeah, here you go, buddy. Thanks for the $2. But this drove me crazy. And I don't know if people realize this. But Conrad, you ever use salt and pepper in a restaurant or a diner?
I use pepper sometimes for fries, but that's about it. I don't really salt things. Because if it's not salted enough, then it wasn't made that great.
Okay, fair enough. I don't, I can't touch salt shakers or pepper shakers in restaurants anymore. Because people will go and wipe the table down. They rarely pick up the salt and pepper shakers and wipe those down. And you got people with greasy hands using the salt and pepper shaker. It's disgusting. It's like a film on both salt and pepper shakers.
I've never really thought about that. Now I'm thinking about that.
Now you will.
Yeah. I don't think I'll ever touch one again.
The next time you go in, I'm telling you, it's just like I was in a place, a bar up in Marinette, and I reached for the salt and pepper shaker. I almost felt like I needed a shower. They don't think of that. They don't. It's an oversight, but you got to wipe down the ketchup and the salt and pepper. You can tell I'm eating at the high class places, but I'm just saying that's got to change. We're Americans. We need to fix this.
Get cleaning.
We got someone checking in on the stream. Daniel Berry, Sports Highlights. Hey, everybody. Happy birthday. Thank you, Daniel. Great to have you with us tonight. Whose birthday is it?
It says happy Friday, not happy birthday.
Where does it say that?
It says happy Friday.
Daniel, I'm sorry. I have a snarky attitude. You're just saying happy Friday. Happy Friday to you too, buddy. Great to have you with us. Do you have a favorite Olympic moment, Daniel? Lay it on us if you do. Yeah, I think that's a good question. There's so many great Olympic moments. I mean, some people might say Michael Phelps.
Yeah, I was just about to say. Cool. Yeah, I was.
Yeah. 2008, I remember that. I was cheering for him, but it's kind of like he was expected to win. He won a lot.
Yeah, he did.
That's what made that so cool, but he was, I mean, hands down, the best swimmer in the world.
So now it's like Peacock has the coverage for it, you know?
Yeah.
They have like a Sunday ticket, like Red Zone, you know?
Oh, come on.
Olympic version of it. So it's just like 8 different sports going on at once.
You have to pay for it?
No, not on Peacock. Oh. Well, I mean, you have to pay for Peacock, but...
Right, but they're special coverage you don't have to pay for. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so there's like 8 different screens just going on. It's so cool.
That is nice. Because I remember in the early 90s, they did... NBC did what they called a triple cast. Okay. They tried to pitch this. They wanted everybody to pay for it, and like 7 people did. It was a total flop. And Bob Costas was pushing it, too. Didn't go anywhere. I was secretly happy about that. Because the Olympics should be free. Come on. We'll talk about some friendly states when we come back. Maybe do a clip or two before we welcome Rob Thomas, a frequent flyer here at Nightlight. Great to have you with me. It's Friday night in Wisconsin. This is Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Tome for the Todd Allball Show.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute and a quick thought about a word you may have heard recently, shrinkflation. Shrinkflation is when companies give us less of something but charge us the same or even more. Cottonelle and Charmin toilet paper, Dawn Ultra dish soap, Crest toothpaste, Gain detergent, Hershey's Kisses, Reese's peanut butter cups. You are not hallucinating. There really are fewer Fritos in that bag because now it has 9.25 ounces instead of 9.75 ounces in it. Now, some U.S. politicians are talking about reining in these companies. In France, companies that shrinkflate food over there, they have to say so on their packages. You know, I'd love to see that over here too, just so I know what I'm paying for and I know when I'm paying less. If you want to help me and the millions of other Work Money members hold these companies accountable, join us. It's free. You can sign up at workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You've seen her dressed in blue. See the sky in front of you. And her face is like a sail.
It's Mick Jagger's birthday. He continues to defy the actually, I wouldn't say he's defying the odds. He's 81. Where's 81. And he loves what he does. So he's up there, but he's still prancing around and he looks like he's doing okay. I've never seen the Rolling Stones in concert. They are on my list. I have to see them at some point. There's quite a few of them left. They'll be one of those bands, like even after Mick and Keith are gone, like just the drummer will tour and call it the Rolling Stones. So they'll be touring for a while. There's still enough of them left. Jason Statham turns 57 today. Did you see a movie called The Beekeeper, Conrad?
Yeah, I love that movie, actually. I did, too. Like, we were talking about that last night, and we did have the same, like, towards the end, it got pretty fake.
Yeah.
But, like, the story was so good.
That's right.
I love the story of it, though.
Yeah. Because we were talking about Thelma, where the older woman got scammed. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, of course. Helen Mirren turns 79 today. She's from 1923. The Taylor Sheridan show. Loved it. Sandra Bullock turned 60. Have you seen Speed, Conrad?
Is that a newer one?
No. Oh. It's like 94, maybe. Keanu Reeves, Jeff Daniels, Dennis Hopper, Sandra Bullock. So it's like they put a bomb in the bus, and the bus cannot go below, I think, 50 miles an hour or it'll explode.
I've actually never seen that.
Oh, yeah. I wonder if it holds up. It's a great premise. And if you can get past Keanu Reeves with his, like, there's a bomb in the bus. Like, it's just kind of, it's so weird because I find it hard to watch him acting sometimes. But everything I read about him, I love him. He seems like the coolest guy ever. Gives a lot of his money away. Talks to regular people all the time. Doesn't rush. He sounds like a saint. But he can be hard to watch. Do you like The Matrix?
You know, I haven't actually seen it fully. Like, I've seen it, but not, like, in a while.
Yeah.
I know the red pill, blue pill thing and all of that, but, it would be hard to, like, remember it that well.
I don't remember that, the red pill, blue pill. I don't think it holds up, though. Tom from New Berlin checks in. Eric Heiden in the 80s, Winter Olympics. That's right. I forgot about Eric Heiden. Is he a Wisconsinite? Let's go to the Google. I can't remember. Eric Heiden. No, he was not a Wisconsinite. He was just a... Well, unless Tom was talking about the orthopedic surgeon, Eric Heiden. Are they one of the... They might be the same guy.
They could be. Who knows?
I hate this guy. He's a gold medalist, and he does orthopedic surgery. Like, I'm amazed at people that can do... That master two things that are totally different. And they're calling him, he is considered one of the best speed skaters of all time. Wow, no kidding. Okay, thank you, Tom. Thanks for the text. That's a good one. I forgot about Eric Heiden. So this, Todd Michael shares this sheet every day with some really cool fun facts. A survey found the friendliest states in America are Minnesota, Tennessee, South Carolina, Texas, and Wyoming. The rudest states are New York, Arkansas, Delaware, Massachusetts, and New Jersey. Newsweek has a ranking of all 50 states based on how friendly they are to tourists, according to a survey of travelers on social media. And if the states in the Northeast have a reputation for being rude, this won't help. New York was named the rudest state in America, followed by Arkansas, Delaware, Massachusetts, New Jersey, Washington, New Hampshire, Nevada, Florida, and Rhode Island. No single area of the country dominated the friendliest states list. So Wisconsin is neither
one of the more friendly or the rudest. I can live with that.
I'm surprised we're not one of the friendliest.
I'm not.
Really?
Yeah, I think.
Maybe Chicago had something to do with that.
You think they all voted? Yeah, they pull us over all the time. No, I just, I think Wisconsin's right in the middle. I've met very friendly. First of all, I think that's nonsense to say when people say, well, the people in my town, we're the best people in the world. No, you're not. You're just people. You're fine people. But there are rude people everywhere and there are friendly people everywhere. When push comes to shove, you will probably get more rudeness in New York. No one's going to coddle you there. But I think, I will say Wisconsin, like where I live, I think people are friendly because they don't beep at other people, like especially bad drivers. Small towns, you can drive poorly. No one's going to give you the finger. No one's going to beep at you. You're allowed to just kind of be in your own little world. So we're friendly. I'm friendly. You ever beep at someone, Conrad?
I have, but like twice, maybe.
But there's a difference. Like giving a toot to say, hey, the light's green, or hey, you're about to hit me, or something like that, or coming into your lane. But if someone's just driving slow, I don't tailgate and lay on the horn. Like that, you know.
I mean, there's always another lane to go to. That's why I like don't get generally like
too upset.
Too upset, yeah. But I had one time someone was trying to like go when they weren't supposed to, when they turned left. And almost hit me. I'm like, I laid on it.
Yeah.
And then they looked at me like really shocked.
Listen, when I was younger, I had no problem. Like I would beep at someone when I was much younger. And if they, you know, give me the finger or something, I'd do something back or I don't do any of that now. I am terrified that someone's got a gun, you know?
I mean, yeah.
Not getting into that. If I knew people didn't have a gun, I would be the biggest jerk in the world.
I feel like it's also like you never know how bad of a day they've had either.
Exactly.
Now, they could just had a really bad day and then.
Yeah, for sure. Here's a little another cool tidbit of information. And I knew this was going to happen this week. I do the in my Hollywood beats. I typically say who won the box office, what's opening, that kind of stuff. We have a new champ. In the highest grossing animated movie of all time category, and it is Inside Out 2. This movie just, like Inside Out 1 isn't even in the top 10, and it was a good movie. But Inside Out 2 is the new champ when it comes to animated films. And it only took like, I think five or six weeks now. The film has grossed $1.462 billion. And it surpassed Frozen 2, which is at $1.45 billion. Number three is Super Mario. Four is Frozen, the first Frozen. Incredibles 2 is five. Minions is six. Toy Story 4 is seven. Toy Story 3 is eight. Despicable Me 3 is nine. And Finding Dory is 10. I wonder if this is like adjusted for inflation because... I mean, sometimes when there's like a groundswell of people get excited about a film, they're even more excited about the sequel. Such is the case, it would appear, with Toy Story 4 and 3. Anyway, I think that's great. Inside Out 2 was just a really lovely little film. Highly recommend it. I wonder if Rob Thomas, Conrad, do you think Rob Thomas has seen Inside Out 2?
I think, did he say he saw it with his daughter? You might have said that last time. You should ask him again, though.
How can we ask him that? When will we see him?
Right after the break.
Oh, perfect. That works out well. All right, Rob Thomas is coming up next. But first, we have award-winning news coverage from our fantastic news team here at Civic Media. You got Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm with my boys, I'm with my troops here. Down along the avenue, some guys were shooting pool. And I heard the sound of acapella groans. Singing late in the evening. And all the girls out on the streets.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
CBS News brief, a huge wildfire in Northern California has now burned more than 375 square miles and has destroyed 130 structures. It's threatening thousands more. Roy Gordon had to leave his home in Forest Ranch.
There are some people that are really suffering. I mean, I haven't really lost anything. But when you talk to people who have lost family, when they lost, you know, trailers and pets and horses, you begin to feel thankful. I'm thankful.
Former President Donald Trump continues to attack Vice President and likely Democratic presidential nominee Kamala Harris.
She was the border czar. Now they're trying to say she never was the border czar. She had nothing to do with the border.
Trump also said Harris doesn't like Jewish people. Her husband, Doug Emhoff, is Jewish. Two alleged leaders of the violent Sinaloa drug cartel in Mexico are now in U.S. custody. Here's CBS's Manuel Bajorquez.
Guzman is expected to appear in a Chicago courtroom next week. Zambada already pleaded not guilty in El Paso.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
The Brewers lose at home. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Another rough night for starting pitcher Freddy Peralta. He gave up two home runs in the first inning. By the end of the second, the Brewers were losing 5-0 to the Miami Marlins. The Brewers ended up losing the game at home 6-2. Manager Pat Murphy.
Freddy would like to have those pitches back. You know, it's tough to pitch sometimes when you're behind like that, you know, and he did some good things tonight. He didn't have his best stuff.
The two teams meet again tonight. NFL Jordan Love has a new contract, a four-year deal worth $255 million, making him the highest-paid quarterback in NFL history, $155 million guaranteed, and Love will get a signing bonus of $75 million. So what's next?
Just reps. You know, you just got to get those reps, build that chemistry. Obviously, I've got a good amount of reps through OTAs, but it's different going into training camp, you know, just getting those reps with the guys and building that chemistry with everybody.
That's Packers quarterback Jordan Love. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Some clouds today with a high near 85 degrees and a little breezy out of the south at times. For tonight, partly cloudy, lows in the mid-60s. 84 and breezy out of the south again for Sunday. On Monday, scattered storms with a high around 82.
It's 60 at our studios.
The Morning Show on WFHR. It's serious comedy.
Some researchers have explored the impact of melatonin-enriched milk on sleep because it comes from cows milked at night.
Ooh.
Night milk has been shown to improve symptoms of insomnia in some people.
Night milk. Yeah. We should try some night milk.
Night milk. Yeah.
I would love to actually talk to somebody who actually does this. If this is like a new avenue for milk growers.
How about milk producers,
I should say.
Yep.
Milk doesn't grow on trees. I learned that when I was 20.
Weekdays from 8 to 10 on Locally Grown Radio.
And here's Heather with the weather.
Well, it's beautiful out there, sunny and 75, almost a little chilly in the shade. Now, let's get a read on the inside of your car. It is hot. You've only been parked a short time and it's already 99 degrees in there. Let's not leave children in the back seat while running errands. It only takes a few minutes for their body temperatures to rise, and that could be fatal.
Cars get hot, fast, and can be deadly. Never leave a child in a car. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
The host of American Ninja Warrior, Matt Eisman. When I first started watching Ninja Warrior, it was like, this guy was a track athlete. Now they train to be Ninja Warriors. It's like doing the Stairmaster to be better at the Stairmaster.
These were kids who grew up watching Ninja Warrior. They weigh 140 pounds. They don't have anything but muscle, and all they're doing is algebra homework, and they remind me how old I am.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome radio legend Steve Cochran. And stand-up comedian Zane Lamprey joins me to discuss upcoming dates on the Wisconsin leg of his national tour.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
So, our question tonight is, what is your favorite Olympic memory? Got some good ones here so far. Anna from the 608 says, hi, Pete and Conrad. My favorite Olympian is Mark Spitz, an 11-time medalist. Medalist or gold? Just medalist, she says. So probably not all gold. Going to a Rolling Stones concert is on my bucket list. Mine as well, Anna. And she says, Eric Heiden is from Madison. That's good to know. So we've got our share of speed skating icons here between Eric Heiden and Dan Jansen. That's pretty cool. Tom from New Berlin says, multitasking, watching the opening of the Olympics, guys. It's entertaining. It always is. I love that. I'm with you, Tom. I love the opening ceremonies. It's so cool when they all walk in. I don't know. That never gets old for me. Tom also says, must see. Agreed, Tom. All right. So it is a Terry Bar Band Friday night. She'll be here at 8:35 with new music. Great music like she always brings. She's batting 1,000, Conrad. Would you agree?
Yeah, definitely.
I told you I was going to ask that question and what to say, but I'm glad you still acquiesced, as they say. Right now, we're going to turn our attention to entertainment and movies and TV with a frequent Nightlight flyer here. Our buddy Rob Thomas from the Capital Times joins us now on the stream. Hey, Rob.
Hey, Pete. How are you?
Doing very well, thanks. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing good, yeah.
So you've been a U.S. citizen now officially for like 3 weeks. Do you feel different?
Well, I think this has been the most eventful 3 weeks in American political history. So I feel like I've lived a lifetime here now. So
do you feel taller, Rob? Like
a little bit.
Chest thumpy?
Got a bit of a swagger. You know, a bit of an American swagger.
I love it. That's awesome. All right. So I don't know if you can help us with this, Rob. We had Matt Eisman on the show last week, the host of American Ninja Warrior. We talked about the twinges from Madison. You did a great article recently about these two guys from Madison. Do you know what happened on Monday? Because I don't know if they're keeping it under wraps, if they just filmed it. I thought it was supposed to air on Monday.
Well, I watched it.
So it was on?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was on Monday. Yeah. Unless what was on NBC or Peacock was supposed to be embargoed, they should have by mistake. They did not make it to the next round.
Okay.
It was very fun. I don't think I realized, like, I talked to them and they were like, oh, you know, everybody's buddies and we share tips on how to beat the course. And I was kind of, at the time I was kind of like, I don't really, isn't this a competition? I mean, they're warriors. But you watch the show and it's like they're all best buddies with each other. When Nathan was running, his opponent's mom was wearing one of Nathan's twinges t-shirts and like cheering. Wow. And like before Marquez and his opponent went and the two brothers had trained with his opponent in Iowa, I guess he was a national finalist. They took a selfie together and it's just such a different vibe than, like, you don't see that on The Bachelorette, you know, you don't see them like, I hope you make it if I don't. So it's just an interesting, very friendly vibe. So, you know, while I'm sure they're disappointed they didn't make it to the next round, it's a very supportive group. And so it was fun to watch that way.
If there's one thing I think that's been lacking from The Bachelorette, parkour, get those women out there, see what they can do.
You know, they're thinking, remember that show Wipeout? I feel like there's a Bachelorette Wipeout is in the offing pretty soon.
I do. Yeah. Boy, Wipeout was such an almost win. Like it was borderline. Like I watched it when my kids were young. It was fun enough, but the jokes were so bad. And I don't know. It was like borderline entertainment. Am I wrong?
We enjoyed it. And again, I watched it with my kids when they were young. Same thing. It was good. Cross-generational entertainment, just dumb people getting punched with giant punching bag, you know, boxing gloves and falling to the water. And yeah, we had a good time with it. So,
all right.
Yeah.
Well, we agree to disagree, Rob.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're
more highbrow than me.
Yeah. I need my Wipeout to be a little more cerebral.
More of a plot.
I don't know what just got me on. Multi-generational entertainment. I don't know if I've told you this. I love the movie Ball Blart Mall Cop. When I went to see it with my son, he was like six.
Okay.
And or maybe he was eight. I don't know. It was just one of those films. It was silly and sweet. And we just both loved it. I saw you wrote recently about Paul Blart 3, but it's not a threequel. It's an actual stage play.
No, yes, and probably it's best that Kevin James' attorneys don't know about it, I think. But yeah, it's this Madison comedian, Alan Talaga. He wrote, I think this was before the pandemic, he wrote like an unauthorized threequel to the Paul Blart series, because, you know, wow. Part two, Paul Blart went to Vegas. And this was a post-apocalyptic story where I think they're trying to search for Paul Blart because, like, society has fallen. They're trying to build a mall as, like, a shrine to the before times. Of course, they need security. So he wrote this play. It premiered in Madison at sort of an underground theater and was a huge hit, like it sold out every performance.
Oh, nice.
And so I interviewed him because now he's taking it to kind of on the road to like Minneapolis and Indianapolis. They have these what they call fringe festivals, which are sort like theater and stand-up comedy and sort of edgy, kind of subversive, usually funny type things. And so they're taking it there. And it's starting in Madison this weekend. It's doing a weekend, a few shows in each of those days, and then back here. Okay. And it's become quite a thing. Yeah, I mean, it's become quite a hit show. And the thing he thought was funny was he meant to satirize Paul Blart and just the idea of, like, you know, the legacy sequel. But he said he found that people get really emotionally involved in it. Like, the things he wrote as jokes, people are, like, cheering about. So it shows, you know, if Kevin James wants to do a Paul Blart 3, he might want to come to Madison and catch this performance.
Yeah, I 10 sold out shows in Madison. That's pretty good. I thought Paul Blart was a satire already of, like, mall cops, you know. So
no, I think it was very sincere about mall security and the challenges they face in our society.
Right. Sure.
Yeah.
I get that. Let's talk about what we've seen, because you and I, you've seen a lot of stuff that I haven't. And I think I always like talking to you, getting your opinion before I head out to the theaters. You've seen Twisters. What did you think?
Yep. I thought it was a lot of fun. Yeah, I'm a big fan of the original Twister in 1996. I remember seeing it in the theater and just remembering how loud it was, these tornadoes. Yeah. Like, and they did a good job. It's sort of strange. It's like tied very slightly to the older movie, but there's no characters carried over. And, you know, it's a similar sort of disaster movie vibe where you've got these storm chasers and the tornadoes are wreaking destruction and they get bigger and bigger. And, you know, everybody's talking about Glenn Powell from Top Gun Maverick. He's really good as sort of I guess he's kind of like a YouTuber, right? Who chases these tornadoes and then puts it up on social media. And Daisy Edgar Jones is the more serious minded scientist. And, I mean, you know, I saw it with my brother and we had a great time.
Okay. Yeah. It's on my list. I didn't love the first one. I just thought, I didn't hate it. I just thought it was a little hokey. Like when they get the guy, the science guy, and then the more, you know, the guy who could sense the tornado. I don't know. It was just sort of a strange, little hokey.
It's a little hokey too. It's like there's science and then there's sort of like tornado whisperers who can sort of tell.
When right.
I think they did a good job. The one thing I thought was interesting was like the tornadoes in 1996, like the special effects were pretty spectacular. And like now we kind of seen it all after CGI. So they do a good job putting you a little more on the characters, I think, and not expecting you're going to be wowed by the spectacle of these CGI tornadoes.
Oh, okay.
And there's some interesting, you know, I think there, I remember being a little more suspenseful in 1996. Maybe, like I said, maybe I was just, it was all new to me and you're a little more jaded now. But it's still like, like I said, it's a good time. Very much a big screen summer movie. I'm not surprised it's doing really well. It's the kind of movie that you go out and see in the summer.
Boy, the blockbusters come back gangbusters, don't you think?
My theory is that they're starting the summer movie season too early. Like they're starting first week of May. And I think once the kids are out of school and, like, you know, the temperature goes up, people like want to go out to summer movies.
Right.
And so that's why you're seeing like like the Bad Boys movie, and of course all the kids movies like Inside Out 2, which we talked about last time, is so great. And I think that's why they're really doing well. It's like, that's something you want to do in the summer, is find an air conditioned theater and
absolutely
a big movie and have a good time. So, and then I think like Deadpool versus Wolverine is this weekend, which is supposed to be just ginormous hit.
Yeah, they've had a nice run recently. Have you seen Long Legs, Rob?
I have not. Read a lot about it. I'm sort of fascinated by it. Did you
Me
see
too.
It?
No, I have not. But yeah. I have jaded friends on social media that didn't like it, but critics really like it, and I love what I read about it. So I'm definitely going to see it. I just haven't gotten around to it yet.
They've marketed it really well, and I think what I've seen is like they market it as like the scariest movie ever made, and then horror fans go and say, you know what, not that scary. But Nicolas Cage seems super interesting. It seems super weird. It's like kind of Silence in the Lambsy, but then kind of takes a bit of a turn. So yeah, I'm very interested in it as well.
And there's another big milestone. Did you see that Inside Out 2 finally got over the hump? It is now the all-time highest grossing animated film.
That's great. We loved it, right?
I mean,
it's really good. I went in with some skepticism because it's a sequel, but I thought they did a really good job. So, I mean,
totally.
Do you know what it beat? I bet it was like a Toy Story or
Frozen 2.
Okay.
You know what's weird? And I don't know if they have adjusted for inflation or anything, but two of my favorite all times are both the first Toy Stories, and they're not even in the top 10. So, I mean, it seems like people really go nuts for sequels, which I don't understand. Like, it seems like the first one would be the more highly attended, but I don't know.
It must not be adjusted for inflation, because like everybody saw that movie.
That's what I thought.
Toy Story 95.
Yeah. So you're also watching Skywalkers. That's a Star Wars spinoff, I assume. I have not heard
it
of that
is
one.
Not. I was surprised. Yes. I mean, for once, it was not a Star Wars movie. Yeah, it's this documentary on Netflix about these two Russian, very young, good-looking Russians who fall in love with each other. The twist is they fall in love, you know, on a cell phone tower 150 stories up in the air. They're like these daredevil, they call it rooftoppers, but I don't think it does it justice. They climb up to like these super high towers and buildings. The woman is a former acrobat, and they take these just unbelievable drone footage of themselves. And so it's a interesting, I mean, first of all, it's incredible to look at. If you have vertigo, it's probably not for you, because I mean, there are rights, you know, just sashing on the edge of these. I mean, it's phenomenal and unbelievable how high up they are. And sort of the through line is them trying to get to the top of I can't remember the name of the tower in Kuala Lumpur, but it's like the tallest building. And you know, it does that, and then sort of like their relationship, and like he was a YouTuber, and his like corporate sponsors like you need to have a woman for like more reach, and then they ended up kind of falling for each other, and she she was more of an artist, I think, where he was more of a daredevil a little bit. And it's cool. It's on Netflix now. I highly recommend it.
I had not even heard of that. I'm just looking at it right now. It does look really cool.
It's so cool to watch.
All right. So when we come back, I'm going to ask Rob about a new film called National Anthem that looks really cool. And the movie Fly Me to the Moon, which Rob did not seem to like as well. And we'll check out his Wisconsin Olympian knowledge as well, too. This is Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. I love her. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Busted Pencils.
Fully leaded education talk.
Brandi Weingarten, the dynamic and influential president of the American Federation of Teachers.
The Heritage Foundation want their way of life rather than the diverse, pluralistic democracy that has been America for 247 years. It's this fight between anger and aspiration.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Reed Galen, co-founder of the Lincoln Project on Project 2025.
Donald Trump, Mr. Vance, when you say mass deportation, what do those words actually mean? Tell me how you're going to identify those people. Tell me where you're going to put those people. Something like a mass deportation suddenly becomes a massive forced roundup of people who maybe have been here 6 months and maybe have been here 60 years.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
What is your favorite Olympic moment? Over the course of your life, what is your favorite Olympic memory? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Rob, do you have a favorite Olympic moment?
Oh, Miracle on Ice.
Yeah.
No question.
So yeah. Great, wasn't it?
Yeah, great movie, too.
And
yeah.
Have you ever interviewed Dan Jansen?
Is that Dan and Dave? Is that what I'm talking about?
No, Dan was the speed skater who was like the best in the world but could not win Olympic gold for some reason, and then he got over the hump. And it was like one of the most, it was one of my favorite Olympic moments, just seeing him, seeing his wife, and all the stress that was off their back. It was just a really cool moment. I think he was from West Bend. Yeah. And then Eric Heiden, I just found out from one of our texters told me Eric Heiden is also from Madison. This guy won an Olympic gold as a speed skater, and now he's like a brain surgeon he's an orthopedic surgeon. People like that really tick me off, Rob.
I'm struggling to get one career right. He's got two.
Right. I'm done with this. I think I'll do surgery now. Okay. So do you think the Hawk Tua girls 15 minutes of fame are up, Rob?
I don't know. More power to her. I mean, you know, like, I mean, if you can ride that wave, go for it.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
I guess. It seems like she's not getting She's not getting the response she was getting to her head fake a few weeks ago. But
I don't know what she's. Yeah, I saw. If I say the Chick-fil-A girl, do you know what I'm talking about?
No,
it was a TikTok thing. But then I saw like she's a Chick-fil-A employee, and like she put out her first signal, and it's like, what are you doing? Like we didn't want that. All we wanted was the video, and now you want to be a pop star?
First
like
this, single.
You know, stay in your lane. Yeah.
Oh man, we did. Yeah. We had when we found out she was the Hawk Tua girl was either going to do stand up comedy and she had offers for her own reality show. I don't know how you stretch that into a reality show, but
no.
I'll send you Conrad. Let's take a memo to send Rob our sketch we did.
Sounds good.
It's just sort of a sneak peek at a particular episode. I think you'll have fun.
That's great.
all right. So, what else was I going to ask you about? Fly Me to the Moon. You didn't like it. I didn't see it.
It was getting touted as sort of like, oh, it's a return to the rom-com finally. With Channing Tatum and Scarlett Johansson. It was a little too much because it was like set around the Apollo 11 launch, and he's like the straight-laced mission control guy, and she's like this marketing person that NASA brings in to try and sell the space program to the Americans who are kind of jaded at this point. So there's something there I thought that was kind of interesting. But then there's this whole other part where like she's supposed to fake the moon landing just in case like Apollo 11 doesn't go well. She's trying to hide it from him. And then like the whole movie like becomes Apollo 13 and they focus, understandably, you focus on men walking on the moon. You don't want to, it's a little more important than whether him and her get together or not.
Right.
So, I just didn't come together for me. It'll probably be on Apple TV pretty soon. I think, I'm not sure if it's even theaters anymore.
It didn't do very well, yeah.
No. Yeah.
And then what about National Anthem? Looks good. You like that. I got to say, that looks really interesting.
Yeah, that might be out of theaters by now, I think. That was an indie, but it was about this... So this photographer has done a whole book called National Anthem about photos about this gay rodeo circuit in New Mexico, Colorado. And this is he directed this film, a sort of a fictionalized version about this young construction worker who's sort of very stressed out and frustrated. And he gets kind of caught up in this world. And it's just a beautiful looking film, as you can expect from a photographer to make. And I really enjoyed it. I was sort of that was one I went into not really knowing what it was. And I thought it was a beautiful film. So, like I said, it's probably out of theaters now, but probably coming to VOD pretty soon, I think. Certainly by the end of the summer.
That is a subculture I was unaware of, Rob. Gay it's rodeo. It's
fascinating.
Yeah. Really? I would imagine it would be.
Yeah. And one thing I liked about the film was that it didn't really, like, put that against, like, you know, any sort of homophobic, you know, thing. It's just like this world. And these people and like how they live and the joy they get from this. It was really quite inspiring to watch.
Did you see the Driveaway Girls or Driveaway Dolls?
Driveaway Dolls, yeah.
Yeah.
It was bad. Did you see it?
I did, yeah.
I thought it was bad. It was from one of the Coen brothers.
Half the Coen brothers, yeah.
Yeah. And it was like, boy, I think you understand why you need the other half. It was like...
I didn't hate it, but I agree. It was just not, they were trying to do something and it just didn't work.
Yeah. I guess it was a script that had been sitting around on his desk since like the 90s or something like that. Oh. And since they were kind of on a break with each other, although maybe they're getting back together. One of them made that Macbeth movie with Denzel Washington. And then the other one was like, I'll make this one. And you can kind of see little glimpses of what glimpses of what it could be, sort of like a crime, R-rated crime comedy. But yeah, just
lots of sex really too. There was a ton of like sex in that film. Whatever, that's fine. But it was just I was not expecting it. I was expecting it more to being about the getaway rather than whatever. But
Yeah.
Did you see, I'm sure you've seen the movie at some point, or I would assume you would have, Miller's Crossing?
Oh, fantastic film. Yeah.
One of my favorite of all time. Yeah. Gave it a rewatch last night with my son who is home. And wow, does that hold up? So great.
Yeah.
And it's in my my Coen top three. I would say Lebowski, No Country, and Miller's Crossing. And I couldn't even tell you which is one, two, or three.
Yeah, I think it's an underrated Coen brothers because I think people, it came right after Raising Arizona, I think, which was such a great comedy.
Sure.
And people did not know what to make of this very, you know, straight, grim, just, crime film. And so, I think it's one of their absolute best.
So absolutely. Great. The dialogue is just brilliant. And then you've got the Danny Boy scene with Albert Finney.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. What
a bad. And,
so great. Just outstanding. Hey, Rob, thanks so much for your time tonight, buddy. Great catching up on this Friday. Let's go to the movies and talk some more down the road.
Absolutely. Thanks, Pete.
Okay, buddy. Have a great night. Thanks, Rob. That is entertainment reporter from the Capital Times, Rob Thomas, one of our Night Light frequent flyers. Always fun to talk to Rob. When we come back, after more award-winning news coverage, we are going to take a deep dive into the film Caddyshack, and I'm going to read some more of your texts. Our question tonight, what is your favorite Olympic memory? Let us know, 855-752-4842, 855.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we'll take a look back at the weekend, and will Vice President Harris have a new VP? We'll catch up to speed. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this Civic Media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of Civic Media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.